Hey everyone, this is Katina.
And this is Doopy. And thank you for tuning in to the Unproductive Podcast. We are not going to proceed with our regularly scheduled programming to listen to El Luna. I think it's very important, and we decided to take a pause and reflect as to what's going on in the world around us. It didn't feel right to us to continue to proceed as if everything was normal.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with that, we just wanted to postpone this podcast episode and come to you with a different message and to talk to you about diversity
in the creative space, which is something that is obviously a huge part of our values at Daydreamers and through this podcast. But before we do that, let's take a moment of silence for George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, Breonna Taylor, and everyone who has been impacted by racism in our world. So today's episode will be super short. Doopy and I just wanted to use this kind of unproductive space to talk about a message that's really important to the fiber of Daydreamers and our true reason for being, which mm-hmm. is making creativity as accessible as possible. And that means standing up to the barriers and systems that hold us back from being our most authentic creative selves. And clearly, racism is one of them.
Yeah, I think we all know when we've heard from Tony Brandt that creativity is inherently part of our DNA. There is no differentiator in terms of if one person is more creative than the other. I think it's the environment, the systems and procedures that are in place that really inhibit certain people from being able to tap into their fullest potential. And for Katina and I, even when we started Daydreamers, you know, we approached it from an outsider's perspective. We felt like we never belonged in the quote-unquote creative world, and there was a large majority of us that considered ourselves not to be creative.
I think part of that is rooted in our upbringing specifically. I mm-hmm. mean, Doopy, you could speak for yourself, but I grew up as a first-generation kid in New York, and it being creative as a career, you know, or even outside of like our art classroom, wasn't necessarily something that was encouraged for me. And I think same for you.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I could say from my own personal experiences, I found it difficult to explore creativity or anything related to that because it was almost an exclusive club. I didn't mm-hmm. see a lot of people that were like me, my same color, socioeconomic class, or, you know, even age, that were interested in these different things. There were a lot of barriers in order for me to really explore those things. So I never had someone helping me along the way. I never had the right tools or support in order for me to really delve into it.
And that's not just anecdotal experiences from either of us. I mean, according to a study by Adobe, people of color are 2 times more likely to say that they don't have the support or tools to be creative outside of their work or even enter creative fields.
Mm-hmm. And we see this, you know, mainstream now in the Oscars this past year and the Golden Globes, a lot of sort of anger in terms of not being a broader representation of folks of color. Mm-hmm. And hopefully that showcases like the systemic issues that we face today. And one of those were brought up by Tony Brandt, where...
Which, by the way, you guys should listen to his podcast episode. Mm-hmm. It's number 3, if you haven't, or 4, if you haven't tuned in yet.
Yeah, and Tony brought up a point when we were in our ideation phase and had the opportunity to talk to him about Daydreamers, that Black Americans are 2 times less likely to apply for a patent than white Americans. So we know that race is something that really prevents people from going after their creativity and fulfilling it all the way. And we also know on that same facet that the top 1% earners are 10 times likely to file for a patent than the rest of us. And that just showcases the income inequality that exists for creativity as well. We see a lot of, you know, great institutions out there, but they've built their businesses around exclusivity. And, you know, what we decided to do at Daydreamers was build the most inclusive brand possible, a place where everyone can feel that they can come experiment, explore their creativity, and really delve into the thing that's inside all of us.
Yeah. I think obviously we don't want this conversation to be all doom and gloom, but there's a lot that we could do, and there's a lot that we're doing as founders and as a company to kind of help break down these systems and really create access for all of us. And I think, you know, before we kind of get into that, it is the responsibility of companies and human beings to really take action in every way that we can. Every single voice matters. And by being silent or inactive, we're giving in to the side of injustice. So we see it, both Dupi and I and Daydreamers writ large, even though we're small and young, as our responsibility to really create change in the world as we want to see it. So I think there's a couple of ways that we can all do that. And the first way, we'll give some examples about how we're doing it at Daydreamers, but is really making sure that everyone can see themselves in leaders and in people who are taking action. So we both know that by seeing someone who looks like us or had similar life experiences, we're more likely to feel like we can do the thing that that person is doing. So if we see a Black artist, doing that as their career, then
it uplifts all the younger generations that this is something that's possible.
Exactly.
And I think that's very important. And, you know, we were coming from this perspective of diversity, both Katina and I, we were very self-aware as to how we want Daydreamers and everything that Daydreamers touches to be a part of. So for the Unproductive podcast, we really did our best to scout out multiple different perspectives from race, from different ages, from different
disability
and folks with disabilities and stuff. And I think it really is about getting all these various perspectives. Even from the little things of the launch video that we had created for our Gyms for Creativity, we, you know, actively found folks of different color and different races and gender so that we can make sure that everyone feels representative to the best way possible.
Mm-hmm. So those are a couple of examples of how we're doing it, but you could do it too, regardless of if you're a founder or freelancer or working at a big company. You can truly use your voice to make sure that there are all different people represented in organizations and, you know, in the ways that you interact in the world.
And I think this is just a good reminder for all the folks that are already doing these great things to continue doing them. And if you maybe weren't doing some of these things before, this is an opportunity for you to rise up to the challenge. We can all do better. Both Katina and I know that, and we'll try to do better as well. So if you have any other tips for us, please do reach out to us on social media or drop us a note at hello@daydreamerspace.com.
Yeah. We really would appreciate it. We're always open and available for feedback. With that, we will kind of wrap up this short episode before we kind of share who's coming onto the podcast next week. We just want to give a reminder that if you really want to take action based on everything that's going on in the world and support our fellow Black Americans, we at Daydreamers have some resources and specific ways that you could take action in our Instagram bio. So definitely head over there. That will be up for a while. And always share other ways that we can kind of share with the Daydreamers community too.
And with that, we actually want to changed the schedule for our podcast, and we're going to talk to Jamel McWilliams next week. We had this conversation scheduled for a long time, but you know, the world works in mysterious ways that ended up being rescheduled for this week. And Jamel McWilliams is all about inclusiveness and accessibility.
Yeah, and he's really, really cool. He's Lizzo's lead choreographer. He is John Legend's movement coach. He's worked with Janelle Monáe since day one. So he is a dancer, artistic director, choreographer, and you know, has dedicated his career to making sure that all body types, all races are represented on the world stage. So as Dupi said, it couldn't have worked out better that we had this interview scheduled with him this week, and we're pushing up our editing process to bring it to you as soon as possible. So that will be out next Friday.
And we'll return back to our normal schedule with El Luna the following week. Until then, please be safe, please be aware of everything that's going around you, and please do not act like nothing is happening.
And feel okay by taking an unproductive moment or 10 and use that time for reflection and action. Thanks, guys.
Until next time.